Acts 13:2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I've called them." Then Acts 6:4, it talks about the helps ministry being implemented because the fivefold ministers, you might say, were being caught up with the menial duties of the ministry, serving tables and so forth. And they said, let's look out some people to do this so we can give ourselves to the Word of God in prayer. Notice that statement in Acts 6:4, we will give ourselves. We will give ourselves to the Word of God and prayer. That means ministering the Word, studying the Word, meditating on the Word. And so I want you to see, we've been talking about distractions for the last few services. Amen. And so I trust you've been judging yourself. I know I've been judging myself. I cut some things out. Amen. Amen. Maybe it wouldn't have been a distraction for others, but it was a distraction to me. So, but Acts 13:2 and Acts 6:4 talks about giving themselves to prayer. And to do that, you have to lay aside distractions. Right? You have to, in order to give yourself to ministering to the Lord or give yourself to prayer, you basically have to set aside distractions in order to do that. And so we want to talk about distractions again tonight, but I want to talk about it in the context of your prayer life. Yes. Prayerlessness is a big problem in the body of Christ. Yes. I don't know about your life. I'm not trying to say it's in your life, but in the body of Christ at large. Yes. And we should all be judging ourselves. Yes, sir. Because we see the day approaching, we'll see some scriptures tonight where we'll give ourselves more to prayer, yes, not less to prayer. Yes. Right. Amen. And I think one reason that people don't pray much is because they don't get much out of it. Right. Not because nothing's available to them, but because they're not separating themselves from distractions, yes, number one. And number two, because they're going to prayer, maybe seeking God for an answer or something, but yet, right on the other hand, they're still not shutting down the mind.
Yes.
You know what I mean? They're still busy in their mind, and they really never get in the Spirit. Yeah. And listen, yeah, prayer is a drudgery if you don't do it in the Spirit.
Yeah.
Right. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Absolutely.
And so when you get into the Spirit, it's an absolute delight.
Yes.
It's an absolute pleasure.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
So when you go to prayer, you really you really find everything you ever will need in that time of prayer, in that time with God in the Spirit. And you'll actually start, when you start getting things, it'll start being a great delight to you. In fact, you'll look for chances to get with God. Now, I don't mean that you don't pray all the time and stay in fellowship with God all day long. But you know what I mean? Setting everything aside and just spending time with Him. You'll actually start delighting in it. Praise the Lord. When we start learning to pray and setting aside distractions, you'll find that Satan he'll stir things up.
Yes.
Satan is a master of distractions.
Yes.
And he has distractions and he has strategies, let's put it that way, against your prayer life.
Yes.
And distractions is one of his strategies against your prayer life.
Yes.
And so we're going to spend some time looking at this. Now, this is not for spiritual babies tonight. It really is, but it's for people that want to go on with God.
Amen.
Amen. The devil has plans to keep you out of the realm of prayer in the Spirit. Now, you can pray mentally all day long. The devil doesn't really mind. Mental prayers that don't really get above the ceiling of your room.
Right.
I don't know if you know what I mean by that, but mental prayers. I mean, unscriptural prayers, ineffective prayers. He doesn't really resist that. You know what I'm talking about? Some people go to church and just pray ritualistic prayers out of a prayer book.
Yeah.
Or something, and they go through the motions of it, and the devil doesn't hinder that. He doesn't oppose that. He doesn't have strategies against that. He's already got them where he wants them. They never get above the ceiling. They never enter the throne of grace. They never come boldly from the Spirit, from the natural realm, and go boldly into the realm of the Spirit, where really all prayer is actually conducted is in the realm of the Spirit, not out of your mind. Now, you can even pray out of your mind in the Spirit.
Yeah.
So when I say out of your mind, that doesn't mean it's wrong to pray what you know from the Word.
Right.
But you do it out of your heart by the leading and prompting of the Holy Ghost. And so he doesn't want Christians to really leave the realm of the mind and the realm of the mental and enter into the awareness of God. He doesn't want them to come to the place where they enter God's realm and obtain God's answers in His presence and really start making a contact with heaven and getting answers to prayer and bringing things from that realm back into this realm and living victoriously because of it. You start doing that, now the devil's going to stir stuff up. He's got strategies to keep you from doing that, and a lot of it's distractions over here. People get stirred up. Financial stirs, things get stirred up. People get yakety yak yak. The devil yakety yak yak. Amen. And so, God's plan for us is that we learn to not be pulled out of the prayer life because of those things. So, In the book of Mark, the fourth chapter, the 19th verse in the Amplified Classic, the cares and anxieties of the world and distractions of the age choke the word whenever they enter in. They choke the word. But they don't just choke the word. They choke your spiritual life overall.
Right. Yeah. Yes, sir.
They choke your faith. They'll choke out anything that is growing in your life.
Right.
And so, the Greek word for here, it says in the Amplified, the cares and anxieties of the world. The King James says the cares, what is it, cares of this world or something. The word cares in the Greek means to be separated from something through distractions. And the Amplified says that, the cares and distractions, cares and anxieties of the world and distractions of this age. That's what care is. It's a distraction.
All right.
Amen. Something that distracts you. Now, notice it says to be separated from something through distractions. The purpose of distractions is to separate you from your connection with God.
Yes. Yeah.
Amen.
Yes.
Separate you from something in God. Separate you from the Word of God. Separate you from meditating in it. Separate you from faith in it. Separate you from prayer. Separate you from the manifest presence of God that you go in prayer and fellowship with God.
Right. Yes, sir.
Amen?
Amen.
He wants to distract you from that. Satan wants to through the cares of life. And so he wants to part your unity with the Word, fellowship with God, your unity with divine connections, and laying hold of everything you need.
Yes.
He wants to do that.
Yes.
And so the word care also means to draw in different directions through anxiety.
Yeah.
Amen. He wants you going in different directions than God. He wants you going in different directions than towards Him. Now, it also means, like I said, distractions. But distractions, to distract means to separate from someone. Distraction is not so much about what you're doing that is... It's not so much what a person is doing, it's what they're not doing.
Yeah.
It's what that they're doing has separated them from. Can you say amen to that?
Yeah.
So they really should be in prayer. Like, let's take for example Matthew 26 verse number 41. Remember, Jesus said to the disciples right before his arrest and then crucifixion, he said, "Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation."
Yes.
The spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. Right? There was a trial coming, a temptation to deny Jesus.
Yeah.
And Jesus was saying, watch and pray. Now, get this. Watch and pray that you don't fall into that trap.
Yes.
Jesus went apart and prayed by himself, came back, and they're sleeping.
Yeah.
Now, there's nothing wrong with sleeping.
Right.
You understand?
Yeah.
It wasn't what they were doing. It's what they weren't doing.
Right. Yes, sir. Yeah.
And Peter, just a few verses later, is denying Jesus because he was not in the spirit. He was in the flesh. He wasn't watching over himself. He wasn't aware of, he didn't have the spiritual wherewithal, let's put it that way, to actually resist that temptation. But it was available if he had been watching and praying. I don't know about you, but there's times if I get weak spiritually and get too busy and get distracted from my prayer life, things start creeping up on me that otherwise don't get in.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
And so it's not that the devil was so much bigger and badder that day. It was so that I was separated that day from my help and from the realm of prayer.
Yes.
So if you can handle it, let's keep on going with this. The word, like I said, it means to distract, and it's about distracting from what is important. There are things that are pressing, but they're not important.
Yes.
What's important is getting what you need to walk through whatever tests or oppositions coming, or hearing from God so that you know exactly what direction to go in this situation. Which, by the way, without doing that, you're going to waste a lot of time, because the Bible says redeeming the time because the days are evil. And if you look at the context, it is by being continually filled with the Holy Ghost. By being continually filled with the Holy Ghost through this kind of prayer, amen, through fellowship with God, worshiping God, through this kind of prayer, you're continually filled with the Holy Ghost, and you won't waste so much time. You'll redeem the time.
Yes, amen. That's good.
You know why you'll redeem the time? Is you won't spend a lot of time doing a lot of things that don't have anything to do with the plan of God for your life.
Come on, sir.
Amen. That's wasting time. But you can get that back. Somebody said, I've wasted a lot of time in life. You can get that back. You can redeem the time by getting over into the Spirit and just doing what He says, doing what He says, doing what He says. God will speed up the clock. Hallelujah. So, distractions are designed to separate you from some sort of connection with God, something you need in God, some sort of divine supply, even the divine connection you have in the body of Christ, like we were talking about Sunday night. People get distracted. Amen. If everybody was here tonight that said, I'm their pastor, we wouldn't have in the room for twice of the people. This room wouldn't have room. We'd fill this room twice over, three times over. Distracted, 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 distracted. Now, am I here to bash them tonight? No, they're not here. You're here, so we'll just talk to you. Amen.
Amen.
And you're not distracted tonight, right?
No, sir.
So, but I just want you to know, people get, they get, you know, something glitters over here, you know, and they go after the glitter.
Yeah.
Amen. It's all true. Well, praise the Lord. Now that that's going over so big. So distractions can simply be the result of being busy with natural things at the expense of spiritual things. How many of you know we do have a natural side to life? So we're not saying, you know, you can't do anything natural. No, we have a natural side to life. But make sure keep control of that, that it doesn't creep in over and take over your spiritual life.
Yes.
Remember, lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets us and run. There's things sometimes we got to set aside so we can give ourselves to spiritual things. Amen. So it can be the result of being too busy with natural things at the expense of spiritual things. It can be, distractions can be the result of fleshly appetites, hobbies, the 24-hour news cycle. Amen. Or the things your mind wants to think about. Or wasting a whole lot of time on social media. I've had social media on my heart a lot. I think some people God wants to talk to them about social media, the time they're wasting on social media. I think we ought to have a timer on social media. And at the end of every day, we'd get an email saying, you lost 2 hours today on social media. I think we ought to be able to, I think some of us ought to sober up about some of that.
That's good.
I'm not saying it's wrong. You got to be on. You got like I you got to do research on things. You got to be on some things. I'm not saying that's wrong. But how much of it is just entertainment or recreation or watching reels or things that people do that don't amount to a hill of beans?
Yeah.
I've seen some of them. Sometimes it's like, why does that have 479,000 views? And all they did was chase their dog around the room or something like that.
Yeah.
What are people that distracted? Somebody say amen. I'll come sit, preach in your chair.
Come on, sir.
Amen. Now, somebody say, if God would just, I'm going to just pray God would take these distractions away from me. He's not going to do it. He's not going to do it. Tell your neighbor, he's not going to do it. Amen. He's not going to do it. You must master them.
Yes.
That's the whole theme of what we've been preaching lately, is Genesis 4, 6, and 7. You must master it. You must master it. Don't pray, God, take all these distractions away. You just master it and refuse to give them your attention. Because that's what distractions grab. They grab your attention. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And so, be a person that thinks right about these things. And not letting these things, sort of control you whenever you're the one that's supposed to control it.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. So don't pray, God, take them away. You just master them by turning your attention away from them. Now, so we're going to talk about distraction from prayer tonight. Prayerlessness, like I said earlier, is a big issue in the body of Christ. I think prayerlessness is one of the roots of failure in believers' lives, one of the deepest roots of failure in the believer's life. Because they're trying to process, even people of word of faith, they're trying to process things with their mind. They're trying to process the word and believe God out of the word they have memorized. Remember, we were talking, was it last Sunday, whenever it was, we were talking about, we've had so many services kind of run together. We were talking about the difference between the spoken word and the written word. It's got to be real to you through fellowship with God in His presence. And I'm telling you, when that happens, you hear from God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing from God. Without, by being distracted from that, where you hear from God, get direction, find the mind of God, and lay hold of whatever grace you need or provision you need at the throne of grace. Without that, you're on your own. You're forsaking the help that you need because of being distracted from the pressing, the pressure, the busyness. Amen. A lot of people have too much going on in their lives. Or they don't manage it correctly.
Yeah, that's good.
Amen. They don't master what tries to pull them out of the presence of God. Like I said, we got a natural side to life. I'm not saying we have to spend all day in the presence of God, but you know what I'm talking about. And so when we go to prayer, we're leaving the natural and the mental realm and entering into the awareness of God. And Satan has to stop that, or else God and us connected together are a force to be reckoned with in this earth. Jesus himself said he could of himself do nothing. But we read that he would go out and fellowship with the Father, and whatever he saw, he saw the Father do, he just went and did. And he became a force to be reckoned with because he was going to the realm of his Father, hearing, seeing, knowing, directed what to do, receiving the impartations of whatever he needed for that day, and he would go out and do it, and the devil was, the yokes were being destroyed everywhere he went. But he was never distracted from that place. Amen. Can I tell you something else? You ought to just write this passage down. Hebrews 5, 7 through 10 tells us something very interesting about Jesus. And I'm not going to go there for time's sake. I got to get to something the Lord put on my heart here. But Hebrews 5, 7 through 10, just write it down. It talks about Jesus' prayer life. It says how he, it's mostly talking about the garden there, the Garden of Gethsemane, right before he went to the cross. The Bible talks about through prayer and supplications, he's strong cries and tears before him, before God. And then it says in the next verse, he learned obedience through the things that he suffered.
Yes.
Well, you read down through there and meditate on that. What you see is in his prayer life is where he got what he needed to do to say yes to the cross.
Yeah.
Someone said, well, he wasn't tempted not to. Oh, yes, he was.
Yeah.
Remember, he said in the garden, can this cup pass from me?
Yes.
His flesh didn't want to die any more than your flesh wants to die.
That's right.
He didn't want a sword in his side and, nails in his hands and feet and a crown of thorns on his head. I mean, talking about his fleshly nature didn't want that. But the Bible said, listen to how that says it, he was perfected. There, I'm talking about Hebrews 5, 7 through 10. He was perfected through the things which he suffered. And he learned obedience.
Yes.
What?
Yes, he did.
Jesus learned obedience? I thought he was automatically obedient. No, he had to learn to obey.
Yes.
Now, he never learned by disobedience. He never disobeyed. But he heard from the Father and went out and did it and saw the results. And he said, I learned from that. I learned from that. Are you there?
Yeah.
I was reading that one time and the Spirit of God spoke to me and he said, without a prayer life, you'll never learn obedience. Without a prayer life, you'll never learn obedience. Why? Because the temptations of the flesh will be so great, they'll knock you out of obedience. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane was praying before they came. Why? Well, he told Peter why. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. He was in prayer watching over himself, guarding himself from disobedience. See, he was not a robot. He could do whatever he wanted. But he chose obedience.
Yes, that's so good.
And he got the strength to do the right thing in his prayer closet.
Amen.
In fellowship with his Father. Amen. And whenever he made that stand of obedience, that's when he became completely mature.
Amen.
He learned obedience and he was perfected, that passage says. In other words, that means fully mature. That's the day Jesus fully matured. And when you through your prayer life get the strength you need to keep obeying God rather than the appetites of the flesh, which is to be distracted. When you do that, you'll keep growing spiritually as well and be fully perfected.
Yeah.
You'll come to maturity.
Yeah, amen. Yeah. Amen.
But you have to put your foot to your flesh.
Yes, that's
right.
So good.
Yes. That's right, sir.
Now, so really, really, he learned obedience in that place of prayer. Of course, there's so much here. He would go to prayer and hear what to do. He said, I do what I see my Father do. I say what I hear my Father say. He would hear that in prayer and then he would go do it. And that was obedience.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And it says by doing that, he got those directions in prayer. By doing that, he was learning obedience.
Yes, that's good.
Don't think didn't have to learn. He had to learn. He never disobeyed. You and I learn by obedience and sometimes disobedience.
Yeah.
He only learned by obedience.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He never disobeyed.
Yeah, that's right.
So don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But my point is, he learned obedience. In other words, his prayer closet was his school of the Spirit. It's where he was learning of his Father.
Yeah, that's so good.
Are you still out there?
Yes, sir.
In other words, because Jesus kept showing up to class, the Father said, okay, I can take him on. And he kept going on and on until he went all the way to obedience, to yes, to the plan. Now, God's plan for you is not to die on a cross, but for him it was to die on a cross for our sakes.
Yes, yes.
And when he said yes to that, he fully matured and he passed all his classes.
Yes, amen.
He was in the school of the Spirit.
Yes.
And prayer, your prayer life is your school of the Spirit.
Yes.
Now, don't misunderstand me. Obedience in prayer is not the only place of obedience, but obedience needs to spill out over into every other area of your life.
Yes.
But listen, if you don't learn it in prayer, well, prayer is one of the best places to learn obedience.
Amen.
Whatever he says to do, that's what I'm going to go out and do. Right? But what if you're never obedient to the promptings to pray? Well, you never get to class, so you never learn obedience, so you keep stumbling, and you keep missing it, and never get to the perfect will of God. This is good preaching tonight. Can you tell them all it's good preaching?
This is good!
Amen! See, we need to do this kind of preaching as well as, you know, praise and speaking the word and all that. If you don't have a prayer life, that's all going to be dry. Absolutely. It's just going to be going through the motions out of your head. Man, this is helping me tonight. Anyway, that's all free. That's all side. We didn't. Amen. So don't exchange that for something unimportant. If you knew the value of some of these things, the hearing from God and walking in the plan of God, staying in the Spirit, taking steps of faith by what you hear in prayer, if you knew the value of that, you would do everything you can to learn to do that. Amen?
Amen.
Master setting aside distractions and entering into the place of hearing.
Yep.
Master that. Become a great master of that. Well, praise the Lord.
Amen.
I said praise the Lord.
Praise
so with that in mind, many people go to God for what they need to know because they want to know. They need help. They need direction. They go to God for it. But they never use the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, to quiet their mind and body enough to get into the Spirit or to stay there long enough to hear what God's saying to their hearts. Your flesh gets antsy whenever your heart starts hungering for God and going towards God. Your flesh, it'll start getting antsy, agitated.
Yes, come on.
Because it wants to be in control.
Exactly. Yep.
Right.
So true.
Am I making any sense?
Yes, sir.
It wants to keep controlling you. Your busy mind wants to keep on thinking on what it wants to think about rather than turn your attention toward the Spirit of God, what God's saying to your heart, fellowshipping with Him. And listen, staying there long enough to get in the presence of God, to far enough to sift out all your emotions about everything, all your own thoughts about everything, and getting quiet to where you know exactly what God's telling you to do. And now all the emotions about it, because how many of you know your emotions have feelings about doing this or doing that, whatever God wants you to do? You got to sift all that out. See, this is not for beginners tonight. This is for people that want to go on in their prayer life.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Sift all that out and get quiet. Settle it. Yes. Get it clear on the inside.
Yes.
I mean, you set aside all the distractions and your fleshly agitations that don't want to go further into the Spirit and your mind telling you, but you know there's things pressing. You got to do this today. You got to do this today. I love something that, who was it? The reformer, Martin Luther. Martin Luther said God used him to change the world, really. So his ministry exploded. But he said, I got so much to do today, I've got to spend 4 hours today in prayer. A lot of people think the opposite. I got so much to do, I got to have less time in prayer. That's not the way it works, honey. Not ministry in the Spirit. Now, ministry to people's heads, that's the way it works. But not ministry in the Spirit that changes the whole world.
Right.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
This sucks just a little quiet over here.
So
could you tell them how to say amen?
Amen.
That's why we keep her on the front row. Hallelujah. Okay. All right. Now, go over with me to 1 Peter 4:7. There's so much we could say. Praise the Lord. People talk about 1 Peter 4:7. People talk about spiritual warfare all the time. This is spiritual warfare.
Yeah.
Setting aside distractions, giving yourself to prayer.
Yes.
But I never get anything out of it. Let me rephrase that. You never get beyond your head. When you do this with your heart to God, this is the most... I've told the Lord a number of times, if you ever said to me, you're done with your pulpit ministry, all I want you to do the rest of your life is prayer, I'd go, really? You serious? Of course, he's always serious, but you know what I'm talking about. People don't understand that because they like to be active and busy.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
A lot of busy, busy, busy is nothing.
Yeah.
That's true.
Amen. So that went over like a lead balloon, all right? 1 Peter 4:7. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be ye therefore sober and watch unto what?
Prayer.
The end. Notice the context is the end of all things. Now, we're closer to the end today than he was when he wrote that.
Yeah.
We're at the end of the end. We're at the end of the end.
Yeah.
You can see that by prophecies fulfilled and so forth. And you know it in your spirit. So you know in your spirit, we're getting there. We're closer and closer. Can I say something I never got done Sunday night saying? I started to say it and went home and I thought, I never finished that up. I don't know why you didn't remind me. But anyway, I'm just kidding you. Remember Jesus in Matthew 24, he said, because they asked him, when shall the end come? What shall be the sign of thy coming?
Yeah.
And there was a third question. I'm trying to remember what the third question was. But I was praying in the Holy Ghost, and I told you this part in the meeting Sunday night. I was praying in the Holy Ghost the other day, and I needed to get ready. So I was up still praying in the Holy Ghost, but I was starting to get ready. And finally, I got it prayed through. I knew what I was praying about. I kept hearing, be not deceived, be not deceived, be not deceived. I said, I kept praying. I said, there's something more down there. That's not all of that. I said, praying it out, be not deceived, be not deceived. And then the Spirit of God said, be not deceived about the timing of things. And like that, I saw two scriptures I had never seen before, never put them together, and never understood what Paul was actually saying, and the other ones Jesus is actually saying. Remember he said, if you read Matthew 24, you read where they asked that question, one of the first couple of verses, when shall the end be? Sign of thy coming and something else there, the end of the world.
Yeah.
When shall these things be? Notice their question was when. You know the first thing Jesus said? What's the first thing in red? What verse is that? Matthew 24, verse.
See you not all these things?
Verse what? Is that the first thing he said where he said about be not deceived? Verse 4, be not deceived. That's the first warning. He said some things before that, but that's the first warning.
Yeah.
He went down there gave you some warnings. One, be not deceived. Another one is let not your heart be troubled, so forth. There's things in there that you need to know about the last days.
Yeah.
Deception is going to be rampant. There's going to be a lot of pressure to be troubled. So Jesus is saying, don't be deceived, don't be troubled, so forth and so on. How many of you know this is the time of Jacob's trouble, not the church's trouble? Some of you maybe didn't catch that, but Daniel prophesied that this time of tribulation was going to be the time of Jacob's trouble.
Yeah.
That's Israel's trouble,
yes.
Not the church's trouble.
Right.
The tribulation doesn't belong to the church. That's a whole other subject. We've unboxed 14 sermons tonight and not going to get any of them closed. But the time of Jacob's trouble is the time he's talking about. And he said, when shall these things be? He said, don't be deceived. In other words, don't be deceived about when. That's one thing that people are being deceived about on YouTube. About when. Second, then over there it talks about, I don't remember the reference because I didn't plan on talking about this tonight. But first, I think it's 1 Thessalonians 3 or 5, where he said the same thing. Don't be deceived about when. I don't have the reference in front of me. But he also talks about it over there. So there's a lot of people prophesying a lot of things in a lot of places. And a lot of them are saying, this is going to happen here and this is going to happen here. Do you know the things that are coming? The Lord will reveal to man, but a lot of times the timing of things is where people get things off. That's what he was talking to me about.
Yes.
You see these things prophesying, this is going to happen this June, this is going to happen this summer, this is going to happen then, this is going to happen. I'll guarantee you, all that's a bunch of baloney. You start setting dates on things, I'm not just talking about the return of Jesus.
Yes.
I'm talking about dates on anything.
Yes.
You start setting dates, you're deceiving people. That's all free too. I won't charge you anything for that. Of course, you don't get charged for anything, but I'm just, praise the Lord. All right, the end of all things is at hand. 1 Peter 4:7?
Yes, sir.
The end of all things is at hand. Then he said, be ye therefore sober and watch unto what?
Prayer.
So what's to be an emphasis for us in the last days? Prayer is to be an emphasis for us in the last days. Now, I don't know how many people are enjoying it, but God said to me, I don't know how far we'll go, but he wanted me to preach on prayer and praise this year a whole lot more. That's what we're doing.
Yes.
I keep thinking about your question. You asked me years ago, teach us more about prayer.
Yeah.
And I kept saying, I want to. I just, but see, now there's unction on this.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Emphasize prayer. The closer we get to the return of Jesus, emphasize your fellowship with God. Emphasize and guard it. Like you guard, more than you guard your house. Amen. Guard any valuables, jewelry, or anything you have. Guard it. So the end of all things is at hand. Be sober and watch unto prayer. Now, I think the reason why is in 1 Timothy 3, where it talks about in the last days, perilous times will come. So why spend more time in prayer? Because so many alarming things are going to be happening here between now and the end.
Yeah.
And the word perilous, one translation says dangerous. But you know, in prayer, the Holy Ghost will show you exactly anything that you need to know. You can be at the right place at the right time and not at the wrong place at the wrong time. But also there's going to be a whole lot more bombardment of people's minds between now and the end. I don't know about you, but I've noticed that more and more. I don't mean I live under it, but you just get a little weak spiritually, and before you know it, wham, I mean. Anybody know what I'm talking about? So those things will be bombarding people's minds, trying to get their attention and distract them. But I don't know if you realize or not, in the world, it's not going to get better and better. I didn't say in the church. In the church, we're in a different flow. We're going from glory to glory. The world is going from one degree of deception to another degree of deception. I mean, it's getting kind of amazing. You go, really? People are believing that now? Whew. That's even further out there than they were, and they were way out there. Amen. So in the world, it's going to get darker and darker. Isaiah 60, gross darkness upon the earth. But arise, shine, the light will shine on thee. So it's getting brighter in the church and darker in the world. It's getting clearer and clearer who's who. Some people are as squirrely as a $13 bill right now. You don't have the Holy Ghost if you're that squirrely. You're just not born again. Amen. Don't look at me in that tone of voice. But anyway, so your prayer life is going to be the place you get what you need to thrive in the midst of these perilous times.
Yes.
Now, you might say, what about the Word, Pastor? You keep talking about prayer. What about the Word? Yeah, he's going to talk to you about the Word.
Yes.
He's going to remind you of what he said in his Word.
Yes.
Amen. Yes. See, I'm talking about this is a living thing on the inside, not a mental memory of reciting it, you know, like a ritual. So, those things, like I said, your prayer life will be the place where you get what you need to thrive in the midst of these perilous times. It'll also be your refuge. Your prayer life will be your refuge. It'll be a safe place for you. Now, your whole life can be safe by dwelling in that place, you understand. I'm not saying nothing else can be safe. But if you read Psalm 91, it's talking about this fellowship with God, verse 1. And then the rest of the chapter talks about your temporal life and all your material possessions being safe because you dwell in that secret place. So by being in that secret place, everything else gets protected. Why? Because from that place, you see the enemy come and you say, oh, no, you don't. Or you see what God says, do this today, so you do that, and you walk into a blessing you didn't even know was available. Everything ought to come out of that secret place. It should be your safe place, your refuge. It should be your safe dwelling place. It'll be the place of your answers. It'll be the place it'll be what you get just to stay sound and stable.
Amen.
How many of you know if you get too much tuned into what's going on in the world right now, it's going to start troubling you and you're going to become unsound and anxious and worried? Jesus said, don't let your heart be troubled when you see all these things. Luke 21 is Luke's account of it. And Jesus said there, he said, go over to Luke 21. Luke 21. Look at verse number 34 through 36. Woo, Jesus. This is T-bone steak kind of stuff. With mushrooms on top. Don't give me a steak. Give me a steak with mushrooms on top. And some grated Parmesan cheese. That's what this passage is. Luke 21. I got to find it myself. Luke 21. Whoo, Jesus. Pastor, you seem like you just really love this. This is where I live.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know where you live. This is where I live.
Amen.
If you want to talk to me, come to where I live.
Amen. Amen.
You want to live out there in the world? I don't know. We have a lot in common. All right. Luke 21. Look at verse 34. Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged. That means weighed down or burdened down, overcome with surfeiting. Now, that's not surfing. You look up surfeiting. That's not a word we use. You look up surfeiting. It means the overindulgence of fleshly appetites. Actually, to the point of nausea, literally. Literally, that's what it means. Overindulgence in fleshly appetites. So let not your heart be overcharged. Take heed to yourselves. This is not God's responsibility. It's us responsible. Not let our hearts be overcharged or overcome with the appetites of the flesh. Drunkenness, drinking of alcohol. Look at this. And the cares of this life. Where have we seen that before? Mark 4:19. The cares of this life. The cares of this life. In other words, don't let your heart be overcharged. Say overcharged. With surfeiting. And drunkenness. And cares of this life. So that day come upon you unawares. Now he's talking about the return of Jesus. He's telling you that being overcharged, heavy, burdened, and dull, literally, the Greek says, overcharged, with these fleshly things, will keep you from knowing the timing of things. Let that day come upon you unawares. In other words, people that are caught up with their jobs, their natural things, everything natural, all the entertainments of the flesh. See, it's not just here talking about drinking. Well, how'd you get on this? Well, back up to 1 Peter 4:7. In the last days, make sure you're sober.
Yes.
Did you see that?
Yes.
Make sure you're sober. What does sober mean? Sober means you're not under the influence. A person that's drunk is under the influence of something else, and he's not in his right mind. He's not making right decisions. And what's important is not what he's paying attention to, but he's paying attention and he's giving his time and attention to what's not important. He's making bad decisions. They're ruining his home. They're ruining his family. They're ruining his life. He's just living for the flesh or for the drink. But this verse over here in Luke 21 says there's more to being drunk. There's more to living, watching and praying than just make sure you're not drunk on alcohol. Here, he's make sure you're not drunk on the cares of life.
Yes, that's so good. So good.
Amen. And any of the appetites of the flesh. Surfeiting means any of the appetites of the flesh. Make it any sense tonight? And so this passage, I like this passage, be not overcharged with surfeiting, drunkenness, cares of this life, that day come upon you unawares. There are some people that are oblivious to how close we are to the return of Jesus. That's because they're unaware, because they're under the influence of something other than what the Holy Ghost is saying. And then notice, as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell in the face of the whole earth. A snare, it captures an animal by surprise. And he said, a lot of people, he said, actually the whole world. It'll come on all them that dwell in the face of the whole world. It'll come just like that. Like that. And they're like, what happened? What? Right? They're oblivious to spiritual timing of things. Come on the face of the whole earth. And then he said, look at this. Watch ye therefore and pray always, that you may be accounted worthy to escape all those things which shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Worthy to escape means having the spiritual wherewithal to get out of here. Apparently, it's not automatic.
This is good.
Anyway, some of you are going to think about that on the way home. Okay. Some people aren't looking to go and don't want to go, so why would they go? They're just caught up. I just want to do my thing down here.
Yeah.
Christians, but just carnal as a carnal bucket.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's just for all free of charge. So some of you, you're looking at me with daggers in your eyes, but I just read your Bible to you. That was your Bible. Surfeiting, uncontrolled indulgences of the flesh to the point of excess. So now back to sober, be sober. Remember 1 Peter 4:7? Are y'all following me tonight?
Yes.
I'm almost done. Sober scripturally means not be caught up in any of the lust of the flesh or the natural affairs of life that may not necessarily be sin.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
So just be free from the spirit of the world around you.
Yes.
Right? Free from what they're caught up with and focused on.
Yes.
Let me say that again. Free from what they're caught up with and focused on.
Yes.
Free from it.
Yep.
Yes. What they're caught up with and focused on. They are so focused on certain things, but those certain things mean nothing. Nothing. Who cares about the latest popular song? Who cares about the latest popular movie?
Come on.
I said, don't you have any fun, Pastor? I have more fun than a lot of you put together. And living a lot of healthier than some folks, too. Sounder in my mind than a lot of folks. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Jesus, Brother Hagin said one time, he asked God, he said, my goodness, in the years that I got started in the Pentecostal movement, we didn't have near as many people sick.
Yeah.
And Jesus, the Lord said to Brother Hagin, he's just saying that to the Lord. He didn't know the Lord's going to say something back to him. But he said, the Lord said back to him, he said, yeah, and my people lived a lot holier too.
Yeah.
Well, you play around with the world, you get the world's critters.
Yeah, come on.
Amen. I'll tell you, some of you are going to go home and think about it. So forget about what they're caught up with. Amen. What they're focused on. He's telling us not to be so entrenched and engulfed in the affairs of this natural life that we don't give ourselves to spiritual things. When was the last time you said, I'm just going to spend the rest of my evening tonight when I get home, go to prayer? Well, I got to see what's on the news. I got to do this. I got to do that. Who said?
Yes.
Your flesh said.
That's right. Yeah.
Your mind said.
Yes.
The world will make it one day without you knowing what happened in politics.
Yes.
Come on. That's right. Come on.
You do better in prayer for them than you do watching it on the news. Woo! We're getting a lot of daggers tonight. Praise God. If we're not sober about some of this, we'll not be aware of spiritual things.
Yeah.
What's the Holy Ghost saying?
Yeah.
What's he telling us to do?
Yeah.
And so, but 1 Peter here says, be sober. He's referring to avoiding the distractions of this modern life. And the happenings all around us. Our modern life is the most, I think when he said here, the end of all things is at hand, he's applying this. It was true for believers all through the church age. But he's applying it especially to us here in the last days. Why? Because there's more things to distract us in this day than in any day of the history of the world.
Yes.
You can spend all night up reading all about things in overseas and everywhere, all over the planet, and every arena of the world, politics, you know, industry, finance. You can read about popular culture. You can read about all kinds of, and watch videos. But what does it matter?
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
What's it doing for your life spiritually other than distracting you?
Yeah.
You know, Abraham didn't know what was happening over in China during his time. And he did all right.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get a point across. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, look at this word. Be sober. Be sober. So that's all the appetites of the flesh. But let's just take it by the, let's just talk about the one we think of when we say be sober. Be sober means, you know, don't be under the influence of alcohol. Right? When a man's under the influence of alcohol, he is now not as in control of his faculties, right? He's not He's not aware of some of the things he's doing, how some of the things he's saying, how much they're offending people. Right? He's not thinking clearly. The way he's acting, how's that going to affect his marriage? Right? He's neglecting what's important. And he's giving himself to things that aren't important. Plus, he's not doing some of the things he should be doing. And he's doing a lot of things he shouldn't be doing. Right? And so he's making a lot of mistakes. And he's making wrong choices, and he's going to be found in wrong places. Right? And so he isn't really is really not in his right mind. Right? Say that he's not in his right mind. Because he's not thinking right. He's not clear in his thinking. And so he's under the influence of something that's altering his ability, really, to think clearly and appropriately and handle himself, you know, with dignity in every situation. He's mouthing off to the women that aren't his wife, and he's making moves on people, and you know, he's not in his right head, right?
Right.
Don't go back in your mind to your old days. Just think about somebody else. Right? That's the warning he said for us in the last days. Make sure in the last days that we're not giving ourselves to what's not important. Listen, and giving ourselves and being distracted from what is important. Doing wrong things.
Come on.
When we should be doing other things, we're doing certain things.
Right.
Somebody said, well, how do we know what the right things to do are? He said in 1 Peter 4, 7.
Yeah.
The end of all things is at hand. Be sober.
Yes.
What's the next word?
Watch
unto prayer. That's the right thing to be doing.
That's right.
Ooh, Pastor. You mean we're going to have to start a prayer life? Well, what's start mean? If your prayer life consists of, Father, thank you for this food we're about to eat. We bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. You don't have a prayer life.
Come on.
It's called prayerlessness. Or now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. You don't have a prayer life. Amen. And you're not being sober about what time it is.
Yes.
You're giving yourself to things that aren't important.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. And therefore, you're not going to be moving with God and what he's doing in the earth in the end times. And you're going to be moving with the plan of the enemy. Actually, you can be used of the devil to help build his kingdom as a believer. What? Pastor, you're not talking to me. No, just the person behind you. You can be used of the devil to help build his kingdom. I didn't say you were. I said you can. By just being all caught up in whatever the world's doing. Praise the Lord. So, now let's look at the rest of this and close this up. The end of all things is at hand. Be sober and what? Watch. Unto prayer. Now, if you know what time it is, and it is 8:30. I'm not talking about 8:30. If you know what time it is, you know what to be doing.
Yes.
We're close to the end. What do? We give ourselves to prayer.
Yes.
Now, I'm not talking about 24/7. I mean on your knees in your prayer closet.
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
We live in fellowship with God all day long. I mean, all day long, I just turn my heart to God from time to time. Thank you, Lord. Just worship him. But I mean, I'm not on my knees all day long.
Right.
You know, understand? So I'm not talking about that. But we need to have the kind of prayer life that really satisfies your spirit down deep inside. I meet a lot of Christians that I can tell are not satisfied spiritually. It shows up in a lot of different ways. Shows up in being antsy and jittery. Just, they're not settled. Many of you do, but you understand, if a person's like that and if they would really get true satisfaction in the presence of God, really true fellowship with God, to where communing with his heart, they hear his voice, so forth and so on, it would settle them. They wouldn't be so antsy.
Yeah.
People that are irritated with others all the time. They're not spiritually satisfied. People that have no joy or they're discouraged all the time. Their spirit's not getting satisfaction. They're not getting the right kind of fellowship with God that their spirit really longs for. Your spirit man needs to get what he wants. Boy, you get that kind of satisfaction, you come out of that kind of place, and you're a blessing to everybody you come in contact with. If I'm not a blessing one day, you just know I didn't have a prayer time that morning, and I just... But some people live that way. Well, I think everybody's taking as much as they can handle, but praise God. Be sober and watch unto prayer. So if you know what time it is, you know what to do. You know it's time to pray. This is not a time to be just living on all the appetites of the flesh. This is a time to be giving yourself to prayer. Let's wrap this up with a couple of examples. Have you ever, like for example, you gotta be at work at a certain time? Mm-hmm. Let's say it's whatever. It doesn't matter what time. But how many of you know? Hours and hours and hours before it's time to go to work, you're not that conscious of what time it is. But the closer you get, and what you're doing is not really being governed by what's coming. But the closer you get to have to go to work, the more you set aside things that are not important, and you do what has to be done before you get to work. Right? Maybe you have to, I have to pay this bill today. Maybe you sit down and write out a check. Or maybe you, you clean up and put your, maybe if you have a uniform work, you get your uniform on, right? Yeah. You eat, so you're ready to go. So there's certain things you have to do before you get there. And everything else just sort of gets set aside until you get back home. Yeah. That's the way he's saying here, when you know what time it is, you set some things aside that aren't important. Because it's time to meet the head of the church. Yes. And up until that time, between now and then, that we got to get this harvest in.
Yes.
Amen. 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 If you got a flight to catch, you do the same thing. You just basically, for the days before the flight, you just kind of go about your routine. But maybe a day or so before the flight, you start packing, right? And there's a few things you got to do before you leave the house. Maybe the flight, maybe you're out of town for 4 or 5 days, a week or something. So there's things you got to make sure and have done before you leave, right? And so listen to this. The priorities change. What's important now is everything that has to be done before you leave. That's what he's telling us in this verse. What's important now, right before we leave, is prayer. And watching. That's a whole nother subject. We don't have time to get into it. Stand with me to your feet. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Jesus, whenever he talked about the end times in Matthew 24, Luke 21, other passages, when he talked about the end times, he said it several times through there. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. Matthew 21, we read it. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. People that aren't watching and praying, they're obviously not aware what time it is. Right? If your flight leaves in 2 hours and you haven't packed yet, you obviously don't know what time it is. Right? Pastor, this is just bringing conviction. Good. Amen. I'd rather have a praying church than a carnal bucket church. We don't have a carnal bucket church. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Father, thank you tonight. Thank you tonight. We hear what the Spirit's saying to us. Father, you take the things that we've said and you break it down in each person's life of what it means to them. Any changes they need to make or any changes we need to make, we say yes, Lord, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Father, we yield to the Holy Ghost. We learned the flow of the Spirit as we give ourselves to these things. And Father, we thank you the plan of God will advance. as a result of our prayer life. And the plans of the enemy will be stopped. Hallelujah. And we decide to move with you in the last days, not move with the world and flowing with what the world's all caught up in, but flowing with what you're busy about. Hallelujah. We choose that, Father. We're interested in that. And prayer is one way we choose it. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Say it out loud. I hear what the Spirit's saying to me. Amen. He might be dealing with you about cutting something out that's distracting you. It's not about, Lord, take all these distractions away. It's about turning from them to what God's put in your heart. Amen. They'll be there. They'll always be there. Remember what he said in Mark 4:19? These things entering in choke the word. That the issue is when they're entering in and we're yielding to them and giving ourselves to them. So they'll always be there. Just turn away from them and say, I'm going to give myself to what God, what's in my heart right now. It's not about a religious duty. I got to pray an hour a day or something like that. It's about what's in your heart. Amen. If you sit down to relax for the evening and something comes up in your heart to pray about something, well, just whatever you got to do, pull yourself aside, whatever, and just go. Somebody said, well, what if it's the whole evening? Well, what is it if it is the whole evening? But a lot of times it's not anyway. All day long, when people come up to my heart or certain issues come up in my heart, I just lift it up to God. I say, Father, I want to thank you for whatever's in my heart about the word concerning that. Thank you, Father. This word, I pray this word for them or something like that. All day long, I don't take 10, 15 minutes. I sometimes just take 2 or 3 minutes. Yeah. And that's all that my heart's satisfied. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Other situations not, but praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's live this life of the Spirit. What do you say? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you, Lord. Say this out loud. I consecrate myself to the school of the Spirit in prayer and learning obedience, flowing with you in the end times. My life is yours. My daytimes are yours. My night times are yours. Use me as you will. Be glorified in the earth. And we will watch over the plan of heaven. And see to it that it comes to pass. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah.
Stir myself up to worship you. I stir
you,
myself
Lord.
Up to worship you. I stir myself up to worship you, Spirit and in truth. Oh, I thank you, Lord, for all that you do. Oh, I watch and pray, and I listen to you. I thank you, Lord, I lay the desires of the flesh down. And I say, Lord, this body has to rebound. Oh, I thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy. Oh, your goodness in the glory, you're my refuge. This flesh has to look at you every day, look at your word, and then say, I can do all things through you who strengthens me. Thank you, Lord, for time in your presence. Say, thank you, Lord, for time with you. I thank you, Lord, time in your presence. It's become renewed. Say, thank you, Lord, for time in your presence. Thank you, Lord, for time with you. Thank you, Lord. time in your presence has become renewed. Thank you, Lord, for time in your presence. Thank you, Lord, for time with you. Oh, thank you, Lord, for strength in the glory. Oh, you're my holy refuge. You're my holy refuge. Holy refuge. Holy, holy, holy. Oh, just lift your hands and right now step into the glory. Oh, he's my refuge. Just say, thank you, Lord, for your strength. Thank you, Lord, for everything. Oh, Father, I praise you. Oh, I bring you praise. I bring you worship from my heart. Oh, it goes up to you. It's what we do. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, Jocelyn, I think you've got the rest of this. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The glory is here. Oh, I see him. He is here. He's in my sights. The glory is here. Lord Jesus. Oh, he's ever near. 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 In your presence.
To trust you.
Yes, 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 yes. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise you, Lord Jesus. It just starts with an act of faith. You know, just take a step. You don't have to spend an hour in prayer to start out. Just take a step and fellowship with Him, reaching your heart out to Him, worshiping Him, and He'll take you. He'll meet you at that point of faith, and He'll begin to take you on, and you can get into deeper and deeper things. Amen? Amen. Say out loud, I'm going to take that step. I'm going to take another step. Amen. I'm going on with God. Amen? Into deeper things of the Spirit. The Lord said, I'm going to begin a new assignment, train this congregation in the Spirit, you know, in the things of the Spirit. That's part of it. Prayer, things of the Spirit in prayer is a big part of it. Amen?
Amen.